Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking down my block.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer.
And I'm your host, Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny and writer for New Jersey Inside Jersey, Star Ledgers Magazine.
You have so much on your titles, Karen. You crack me up. Every Thursday.
I'm getting tongue-tied.
Karen and I are here every Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30 on WNJC 1360 AM, helping to educate you, the dog-owning community, about why your dogs do the things they do. Karen and I discuss dog training, and we also talk about how to prevent problematic behaviors. We also discuss ways of helping you and your dogs resolve any behavioral or emotional issues they may have. If you're a first-time listener, and if you would like to hear any previous programs that we've done, please go to my website at www.jerseydogtrainer.com, and you can also visit Karen's website at www.mybestfrienddogschool.com to listen to our podcasts. They're all linked on both sites for your listening pleasure. Our guest this morning is Dr. Roger Abrantes. Dr. Abrantes has a Ph.D. in evolutionary biology and also ethology, which is the study of behavior of animals in their normal environment. He's the author of 17 books, which have been written in several different languages. Two of his most popular books are Dog Language, an Encyclopedia of Canine Behavior, and The Evolution of Canine Social Behavior. Both of these books are huge hits in this country. Dr. Abrantes is often asked where he lives, and his answer is planet Earth. If you've ever asked yourself, why do dogs always roll in smelly things, or do dogs actually feel jealousy, his books would be a great addition to your list of what to read next. We'll talk to Roger Abrantes in just a moment. But first, please let my co-host Karen Fazio tell you about the services she offers in the Keyport, New Jersey area and its surrounding towns.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Good morning, Dr. Abrantes. Thank you so much for joining us here in the Doghouse today. I'm going to be talking some later on a little bit about the new book that you're coming out, but right now I have a question. In your book, The Encyclopedia of Canine Body Language, you provide written information and amazing illustrations of body language and behavior, and I've found the book to be extremely helpful as a trainer. But can you explain to our audience how essential it is and how important it is to read canine body language and how it can help the average pet parent?
Yes, I can. And good evening to you. It may be good morning for you, but it's good evening for me.
Good evening.
Right now. Yes, it's very important. You're absolutely right, because that's the dog's main communication means. They do not communicate with words like we do. So they are very good at expressing their feelings, their emotions, about telling us what they expect us to do or what they are going to do next by means of body language. Mm-hmm. So we can do two things. One is to watch them carefully and to register the small movements with the ears, with the you know, ev- everything, actually. The dog face, the canine face, has many expressions, almost as detailed as ours. So we can get lots of information. And the second is that they also read our body language, so we have to be careful. And because they do not have words, they are sometimes better at reading our body language than our fellow humans. They are like, like poker players. We cannot hide our emotions from them. They can see through, even if we maybe try to control ourselves.
Right. Now, dogs try to communicate with humans using the same signals. Is that not correct? And they also use the same while communicating with each other.
Yes. There are two types of signals that dogs use to communicate with us. One is the same type that they use when they communicate with one another. That's their natural language.
Mm-hmm.
And then some dogs develop an ability to, it's genetic in a way, but it's also learned. We reinforce their behavior, and they show some behaviors more often than not, which means that they've developed kind of signals that they only use to communicate with us. For instance, one, the smiling, the dog smiling, which many dog owners unfortunately confuse with an aggressive display.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very curious behavior, because they never use it with one another, but they use it with us. You know, like, it's like a nervous, probably you know what I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
like a nervous snarling, which is not at all associated with aggressive behavior or fearful behavior. It's more like what in ethology we call a pacifying behavior, a friendship behavior, a friendliness.
Mm-hmm.
And that is only shown towards us. Dogs have evolved an ability to what we call the left gaze bias that they only use with us humans. And I can give you the example. When we look at one another, we always look first to the left, which is looking at the right side of the person we're talking to, because that part is the part that shows emotions more clearly.
Hmm.
And you know what? Dogs do exactly the same when they communicate with us. That has been proven now scientifically. They
wow,
don't do
that's
it
really
when they communicate. It is. They don't do it when they communicate with one another. They don't do it when they look at any other object. But when they communicate with us, they look first to the right side of our face, which is the most emotional side. That is very interesting, in my opinion.
That's fascinating.
Very.
Fascinating, yeah. I remember hearing a study about that. Getting off topic a little bit, but I also heard of a study where they examined the position of the tail to determine whether or not a dog would be happy to greet somebody or not happy to greet somebody, and I think that had a sideways point of view also, and I think it was if the dog's tail is leaning toward the left, he was happy to see somebody, but if the dog's tail was wagged to the right, he was not happy to see somebody. Are you familiar with that study, Dr. Abrantes?
No, unfortunately not. It sounds very interesting, but that I don't know. The tail emphasizes, not the tail is not very detailed. The tail only emphasizes what the rest of the body of the dog is telling us.
Right.
So a moving tail will emphasize, for instance, if the dog is happy or not, or fearful or whatever. And if the tail is down, it's a posture where the dog does not want to advertise very much for its presence. So it should, maybe it could indicate some fearfulness or the dog is not self-confident. And if the tail is up, it shows normally that it's normally here I am, look at me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Emphasizes all the rest with mm-hmm. being self-confident, being happy.
Dr. Abrantes, the subject of dominance comes up a lot today, especially when people watch certain dog training TV shows. Are dogs really trying to gain the upper hand with their human family? Are they really trying to take over?
No, they're not trying to take over, but the problem is that dominance is definitely defined everywhere. Mostly everywhere. I mean, I've been studying that topic since the 80s, and besides my own definitions, there are no other definitions that cover the topic in a way that should not or be misunderstood. That is the problem. know, there is nothing wrong with the dominant or dominance behavior if we understand it correctly. What is wrong is that most people associate dominance with aggressive behavior, and dominance actually, from an evolutionary point of view, has nothing to do with aggressive behavior. On the contrary, social animals like dogs, for example, they developed many years ago this ability to show dominance behavior exactly to restrict the displays of aggressive behavior. And dominant behavior doesn't have anything to do with either with the rankings. Because people also understand that, oh, I must be dominant because I must have rank number one. Mm-hmm. First of all, we are not in the same pack as our dogs. So we don't have a rank, and they don't have a rank in our families because it's not a pack. You have a rank if you live in a pack. And even if you look at the wolves, the wolf packs, the rankings are not as stable as and maintained by aggressive behavior as it's pictured these days. So the bottom line is that there is nothing wrong with the dominance. We just need to define it properly, and of course we should not dominate our dogs constantly and all the time, but sometimes we need to. You know, it's like with our children, for instance. We don't build a good relationship with our children by dominating them. Of course not. But sometimes we need to say, no, you're not going out today. That's it.
That's true. We have to give them directions, and we have to give them directives.
And you know what? And you know why we have the if you now want to speak about that, why we have a ranking, we rank higher than they do? Because we are better at solving problems, because they need us. You know, that's why our children accept us, parents, you know. And the same with our dogs. Our dogs will also accept us and our directions if we show them that we are good at solving problems. It's not a question of using force and aggression.
Right.
It's a question of being clever.
Right. Well, you talk about you have a definition for dominance. Can you kind of give us that definition to make it clear to people who are listening so that they don't misunderstand what this word really is all about?
Yes. Yes, I can. You would like to have it?
Absolutely.
Okay. But we need the elementary version.
Right.
All right. I'll give you two sentences, okay? All right.
Okay.
So I don't like to define dominance. I prefer to define dominant behavior. Behavior is a quantity, something we can measure, you know. So I would say that dominant behavior is a quantitative and quantifiable behavior, which is displayed by an individual with the function of gaining or maintaining temporary access to a particular resource on a particular occasion versus a particular opponent without either party incurring injury.
So they want to take the most peaceful approach, but the most advantageous approach, basically, is what it boils
without
down to.
Without either party incurring injury, correct. If any of the parties incur injury, then the behavior is aggressive and it is not dominant. And another thing which is important is that it is quantitative and it's quantifiable. It goes from being slightly self-confident to being overtly assertive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not what we hear about dominance. And I will repeat, there is nothing wrong with dominance. There is only something wrong with the way we normally use the term when we refer to to our dog's behavior.
So I see on TV that the trainer might say about a fearful dog who is trying to gain a resource that dog is being dominant. So can a fearful, totally non-confident dog be declared as dominant? Isn't that
not at all? Not at all. It's completely incompatible. If you're dominant, it means that you're self-confident. If you're self-confident, you cannot be fearful.
Right. That's what I thought. Okay.
Well, that is a completely misinterpretation of the behavior. But, you know, it's again a question of defining the terms, and this is the thing that I've been working with. You know that because since the 80s I've been writing books about defining the concept and working with models to explain behavior. And it's all a question of defining the terms properly and using them. It's horrendous what you see out there, especially on the Internet, of definitions, and they confuse the dog owners even more than they help them.
Do you think it's time for new terms?
Well, in my newest article about dominance, I write exactly that. I think we don't need new terms. What we need is to find the terms we have properly and to use them, you know. We don't need new terms. New terms only, you know, sometimes you change the term, but you don't change the ideology behind. You don't change anything. You just get a new term, a fancy term.
Mm-hmm.
And we are, but it's all a question of being fashionable or not, you know, and things come in kind of waves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And these days it's not fashionable to use the term dominance, for instance, and it's not fashionable to use the term punisher either.
Mm-hmm.
And punishment, now that we're talking about it, also from a technical point of view, it has nothing whatsoever to do with violence, not at all.
Okay.
So I just think we need to, like you guys are doing, you know, with your program, you know, explaining things properly and that's it. We can't do anything else.
Dr. Abrantes, one more question from me. Talking about dominance again, it sounds when you were giving your definition, it sounds like this can be a changeable type of thing. So if I have a dog that lives in my home who is self-confident, and let's say I have another dog who is not so self-confident, the dominant dog, will he always try to gain resources first, or can this be an interchangeable type of relationship?
That's a very good question, and you're right. It's changeable, absolutely changeable. You know, dominance is a characteristic of the behavior. It's not a characteristic of the individual. So it is wrong to say, for instance, let's say Bongo. Bongo is the name of the dog. Bongo is dominant. It is wrong. We can never say Bongo is dominant. What we can say is Bongo shows dominant behavior when he sees a bone and meets, for instance, Grover, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's always contextual, you know. There is no dog that will always show dominant behavior or submissive behavior. Never.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the beauty about the dominance and submission behavior, even if we don't like the terms, is that it's there. It evolved to solve problems with the least use of aggressive behavior, of fearful behavior, which are very powerful mechanisms. That is, it's the beauty about it. And sometimes I get so frustrated because people don't understand it, you know.
Right. I do, too. We do, too. We hear it all the time.
I think it comes down to... If you want to describe the characteristics of that particular individual, they're one that makes good decisions with the least energy output. So if a particular situation is going to cause a fight, they would wait another day to gain that resource rather than put all that energy into an argument or a fight or so on and so forth when, you know, maybe the next day, the resource would be right there for their taking, and they really didn't have to put much effort into it at all.
Right. But, you know, it's not much different from ourselves. Look at you guys in the radio station. You have someone that takes decisions most part of the time, but that person doesn't mean that directs everything, right?
Right.
I mean, it's sometimes you get what you want, sometimes you don't, you know? And that's the same with the dogs. It's not different at all.
Right.
Well, I have a question. You have a new book coming out. Can I tell the audience the title?
Yes, you can.
Okay. It's called The Animal Trainer's Handbook. And I'd like for you to, like, tell us a little bit about the book and who would benefit most by reading it, like who the audience is. And will it help both trainers and owners?
Yes, that was my goal. I wrote it as a textbook. We have our students at the Ethology Institute in Cambridge in England. And we have always been missing a book, a textbook that would cover all the relevant topics like animal learning, ethology, evolution, animal welfare.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote most of the chapters, and some of my colleagues wrote the chapters that were, part of their syllabus. And the book is written in very... easy language. It's a textbook. There is no political agenda or anything like that. It's presenting facts that hopefully will help the students and the dog owners as well to better understand their animals and interact with them and modify their behavior, because that's what dog training is about.
So exactly, can you just briefly give us some of the names of the chapters, like what some of the subject matter is?
Yeah, we have evolution, which I think is absolutely important for us to understand who we are and the animals that we deal with. You know, mainly it's about companion animals, you know, dogs, cats, and horses, but it is basically for all animal trainers. So we have evolution, then we have ethology, which is behavior, which I also think it's very important because you cannot begin modifying the behavior of an animal before you know what the animal's normal behavior. And then we have the chapter animal learning, which is about the techniques to modify behavior, which is training. Because, you know, when we train animals, what we do is that we increase or decrease the frequency, intensity, and or duration of a behavior. We don't teach the animal anything new, anything that the animal cannot do. What we do is that we change the frequency and the cues associated with that behavior. So that is a chapter called animal behavior. And then we have one about animal welfare, which I also think is relevant, asking some questions about them. You know, mostly asking a lot of questions and giving ways to find answers, but not giving answers because answers are or can be very political. And then we have a chapter about anatomy and physiology as well, because as we know, the physiology of an organism also affects the behavior. We have one about measuring behavior to help dog trainers to find out whether they have well, not only dog trainers, but animal trainers to find out whether they are having success or not with their with the implementation of their training programs. And then there are other small chapters as well to support the study of behavior.
And when will it be published?
Well, I hope it will be published this year. I've been saying that every Christmas now for 2 years, but I think this Christmas is going to be. The book is finished, but I want to support it with the videos because one thing is to read about behavior, the other is to see it.
Right, and you can
Sorry.
Could you send me a link when it does publish so that I could share that with our audience and in my newsletters and so on and so forth?
I will for sure. We will keep in touch. Thank you very much.
Dr. Abrantes, can you tell our listeners where they can get the two books that we mentioned in the beginning?
My books are distributed in the U.S. by dogwise.com.
Okay. All right, so that's www.dogwise.com. The author's name is Dr. Roger Abrantes, A-B-R-A-N-T-E-S. And Dr. Abrantes, you can rest assured that Karen and I will both put the titles of both of these books on the podcast that we'll place on our website, you know, within the next day or so, and then people can listen again to this interview, and they'll have the information about your books too. There's one of them in particular that I'd like to get, and I saw the table of contents, and it sounds really, really interesting.
Thank you.
Karen, do you have any more questions for Dr. Abrantes? I'm sure
I have time for one more, I would like to ask it.
Sure.
Dr. Abrantes, you're the divisional director and scientific director of the Ethology Institute in Cambridge, England. Can you tell us a little bit about the institute, what it does and who it benefits? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, you know, I don't think it's well known here, but I would like our audience to know a little bit about it.
Right, thank you very much for the opportunity. You know, we have educational programs in dog training, horse training, and in what we call animal behavior therapy. And the dog training and the horse training are shorter programs, but the animal behavior therapy is corresponding to a Bachelor of Sciences degree. So it's a deeper thing to go into. And we have students from all over the world. Some of them, they will later on get a job and work in practice with animals. Others won't, but, you know, that's it.
Dr. Abrantes, Karen and I would like to thank you very much. I have a funny feeling it's the middle of the night where you are.
Sorry? Say that Say that again?
I think it's probably middle of the night somewhere where you are. I don't know what the time difference is, but I'm sure it was, you really put out a lot of effort to be with us today, and we both want to thank you very much. It's been very educational talking with you, and I hope maybe someday you'll come back and you'll talk about your new books with us on Thursday in the Doghouse.
You are very welcome, and I want also to congratulate you because you're doing a great job. It's great to have programs like yours, and please keep up.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and you have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
I hope everybody gives us a minute. I'd like to let everybody know what services I offer here in the South Jersey area as a professional dog trainer and certified behavior consultant. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338. Or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338. Or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. Again, I want to thank Dr. Roger Abrantes for visiting with us today. His subject matter is extremely interesting, and not just interesting, very important for all of us who live with animals. I know I live with horses, I live with a dog, and so their behavior and what motivates that behavior needs to be understood by people, so we don't have expectations of those animals that are going to just set those animals up for failure. And I think that that's why dog trainers, good dog trainers, work so hard to do a lot of research, reading books like Dr. Abrantes has written. I know Karen does an awful lot of scientific research in her work, don't you, Karen?
I do. You know, I wanted to know if Dr. Abrantes is still on the line. Is he still on the line?
I think not. I think he did hang up. What a lovely man.
And, great.
Yeah, he was very, very interesting to listen to. And I also, Karen, want to tell everybody who's coming on next week. We have a lovely woman who actually goes out to shelters and rescues dogs in order to teach those dogs how to rescue people.
Wonderful.
I think that's going to be such a fantastic topic to talk about. Anybody that does things like that is a hero in my book. And she's also had dogs with her at 9/11. It's at Ground Zero. So she's going to have an awful lot to talk to us about.
Oh, wow.
You know, Karen, you know what else I want you to do is is there some way that people who are listening here can get your newsletter? That's number one. I think you have a fabulous newsletter.
Thank you.
That you offer. I think it's once a month or every other month. On your newsletter, you actually wrote an article about dominance, and Dr. Abrantes actually contacted you to congratulate you on the validity of what you wrote. So I have to congratulate
you. Yes, he did, and it was kind of like a rock star contact. I'm a behavior geek, you know, so when Dr. Abrantes contacted me and congratulated me on the content and the scientific accuracy of the content, I was really thrilled. Mm-hmm. But for those who want to join the newsletter, it's free. And there's all kinds of training behavior included. Just go to mybestfrienddogschool.com or thedogsupernanny.com, and there is a link there where it says join our newsletter, and you just click on it and you're in. So you just put in your email address and we're good to go.
And you have some other trainers who offer articles on your newsletter, too. I know,
yeah.
I've given you a couple, but you get such a well-rounded education, really, when you read Karen's newsletter. It's very, very good. So I hope that everybody will join us next week.
And I just want to say real quick that one of those wonderful trainers is you. You're in my newsletter, too.
Thank you, Karen.
You're welcome.
So I'll look forward to talking with you, and I'll look forward to our interview next week. And maybe we'll get some callers in next week, and we'll see how time goes. And I hope everybody listens. We're right here on WNJC, 1360 AM. You're listening to Thursday in the Doghouse, and I hope everybody has a great week.
Have a great weekend.
You too, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
I'm glad you're home, but where you been? Since 2 o'clock, I've been holding it in. Grab the leash, let's go chop chop. If I don't get out soon, the court's gonna pop. Twist and shout. Ooh, I gotta go out.